Hey everybody, welcome to the Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast spoiler minisode for The Equalizer 3. I'm John Burke, and with me from across the pond is Matt Hudson from whatiwatchtonight.co.uk. Matt, are you ready to spoil The Equalizer 3?
I am, and I come with not many notes on it because the film was fine.
That's right, folks. If you listen to our full episode, the spoiler-free episode of The Equalizer 3, you've already heard us kind of say this movie's meh. And while we don't often use meh as a ranking, it feels appropriate here. Sure. There is good in this film. There is clear bad in this film. And at the end, it didn't quite work for us, but Denzel is always watchable. And thus, you can't help but, you know, be capped into it. You know, it's hard to like look away. So before we start, listeners, this is it. This is your final warning. If you don't want to hear spoilers for The Equalizer 3, and there are spoilers, even if the plot is pointless at the end, we're about to do it. So you've been warned. Let's talk about the end, Matt.
Oh,
why was he in Italy? Why did he go and kill all those people at that winery, at the vineyard?
The reason why he went to Sicily, John, was so he could get some pension money from somebody he once knew in a taxi who had it stolen by thieves. He went to Sicily to retrieve some money from somebody who once mentioned in a taxi that he had it stolen from thieves. That's not where the film ends, though, is it? We get that because he's got to go to Dakota Fanning's character got to go home. She's got to go back to Boston and, you know, talk about this guy. John, what happens at the end then?
Well, she brings him the money. She brings him the money. He cries, which is understandable. Like, I don't have anything bad to say about the guy who gets the pension money, because if I lost all my money and suddenly someone returned it, I would be, oh my God, you know, overjoyed. But she doesn't have answers. We find out that her mother was, I guess, from the first movie, right?
Like, yep, right. Yep.
The film does require some memory that I don't have of the characters from the first two movies. So it was like, they do give you a real quick flashback of the mom and Denzel's relationship, or Robert McCall's relationship, at some point. But it's only there to set this payoff that she is the daughter of that woman. And that's why he called her, which still doesn't really make sense. He gives her the black book, which was, I guess, the mom's black book. It's not good, man.
It's just, like you say, it does require you to have some sort of investment, I think, with the films as a whole, because if you don't, I do think that the ending will just feel even more disconnected than it does for you and I, who have a passing knowledge, if maybe not the clearest knowledge of what happens. We kind of remember, but it's just because when the film opens, he's in Italy. I'm like, what's he doing there? I mean, of course he can just be in Italy, but he spends a lot of time talking to the townsfolk because we couldn't say it on the non-spoiler, but at the beginning opens with a whiz bang. And he ends up getting shot in the back from behind, by the grandson of the guy he's just blown his head off. So therefore he drives off, passes out, doctor picks him up, or gendarme picks him up and sorts him out. But he's contemplating life. He's contemplating suicide at this moment, and kicking everything in. He's, you know, dreaming of not having to do this, but then obviously spends a lot of time later on killing people brutally, before we get to that finale. And I mean, we're talking about Vincent and the mafiosos and that. I think it's funny because the first two films, even though we both thought the second one was pretty garbage, you know, the ending was nonsensical, but at least they're building up something big, or at least they threw something big in anyway. Here it felt like very much like an anticlimax. I didn't care much for the villains anyway. You know, the fact that he's going after the mafia or an arm of them was a bit weird, but I just thought it was it kind of fizzled out more than anything, this film did. And then we get to the whole scenes you just mentioned, and he stays in Altamonte and they're watching a football game and having a great time watching it. I don't know, man. It just feels a bit, I don't know if it's, it just, it, I don't know, it just felt, well, just, it, it, me, people, I've seen people saying this is a happy ending, I guess, but it was an ending.
Yeah, and that's, I don't feel like the film, because the film implies that Dakota Fanning's character is going to have like a career, and that maybe he's going to be involved in that process. So like, it doesn't feel like the movie thought it was over. Like, could it end here as a happy ending? Sure. But for it to be like the final, I'm like, the movie doesn't think so. I don't think, like, if you don't have to kill a character for it to be the final, but I don't think he's hung up. If anything, he seems to have embraced the killer more. I know at some point he's like debating it, but at the end he seems pretty content with what he's doing. Like, he's like, nope, I will always protect the innocent at all costs, you know, and no matter how horrific it is, like, I will do quote unquote the right thing. And yeah, I that part's also like, it's like, I don't think this is, I mean, it probably should be the last one, but I don't feel like the movie's setting it up to be the farewell of this character necessarily.
Especially what the director's been saying.
So there's this movie has like Yojimbo. I haven't seen Yojimbo, so I'm saying that from Big Tuna, but I was immediately like, this is like Seven Samurai, except one samurai, which is apparently what Yojimbo is. So it's like, you know, him recruited to like protect the town and him going like crazy on them. But also obviously tons of mafia references, but there is a sequence where he is dispatching the thugs that is cross-cutting with when the mafia boss is being murdered. It's cross-cutting with a ceremony that we're supposed to know the significance of, but we do not. There's like a passing reference to the religious like belief of the community at one point. And then there's a ceremony and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I don't know why all these people are here. And it's like, it's very much the baptism by fire sequence in Godfather, right? Where we see Michael Corleone at the baptism of his godson while literally becoming a godfather there, becoming the godfather of the mafia while taking out all of the opponents, you know, and him having basically the perfect alibi because he wasn't him. He was at the baptism. We have that where like we're cross cutting and it's like this weird significance because there's this religious thing happening and he's over here like beheading people. That part,
yes,
was ridiculous because the guy like moves the dude and his head literally fell off. I'm like, okay. So one, either he cut off a dude's head and put it back on so that it would fall off if interrupted. Cause that's to me, you don't get decapitated and the head just stays on. Like, It's there because Denzel's character put it on the guy, so it would fall off if it was moved. That doesn't feel like this character to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not his style. It's so ridiculous. It's, that ending is so over the top, and then it only feels more over the top by using a Godfather parallel.
Jesus.
But yeah, that was one of the things that really stood out to me as far as like referencing other movies was, I'm like, this is the baptism by fire sequence. Like, what? And even David, not recognizing the sequence, said the score here sounds like The Godfather. And I'm like, you're right. And there's a reason. And this is the reason. So yeah, I'm like, I don't think so. I'm sorry. Like,
it's positive. Film looks great. Film looks great. Film looks great. I'll say that right now. Denzel, charming, watchable. He's having a good time here. I think he's done well in these three films to elevate them above the shock that they are. But yeah, he goes ham in this film. He was very calm in the first film, especially. Very calm. Obviously, CIA working for the government now. He's not. He's rogue. He's brutal. He's bloody. He shoots a guy in the backside with a shotgun. Doesn't matter what's around. He'll use a meat cleaver. He'll use a corkscrew. He'll kill with a gun. He'll kill with a wine bottle or a shot. Doesn't matter. He'll cut your head off. It suddenly, for me, it felt a bit, well, this is a bit of a jump for the character now. I don't think there was as much of a steady trajectory as there could have been. It just seemed to jump an awful lot. But there isn't much of it in the film. It spends so long with him kind of hobbling around, and I mean that nicely, the streets. At one point, an elderly lady tells him, "Go slow, go slow." Okay. And then obviously the director and the editors also thought, we'll do the same, we'll go slow for the next half an hour. I respect that they tried to give this some grandiose. They try to play to Denzel's effortless charm and affability, because he looks, you know, he looks like he's chilling with everybody in that town. They all look like they're having a great time with him there, but apart from the ones who are getting, you know, strung up and hung. But it takes a little bit too long setting up those character moments to the point where I think we just, it was a bit of an unnecessary. And for me, the emotional crux wasn't really there enough for me to justify it, or at least justify me really getting into it. The action scenes are well done. We've said that already. Now, the action scenes, is, even if they are absurd, and they're well done, they're well framed, they're well shot. Denzel is framed and composited at, with his hero shots an awful lot from shot from low down, but I dig it, because the DOP did such a good job with this film. You know, I'm here for the tropes, but it is a very horror aesthetic vibe at times, and I do think they made McCall out to be, I think you said on the non-spoiler, he's about Batman, he's got the Michael Myers-ness about him. But yeah, his methods of killing would fit into those films quite well. But look, it's better than part two, which isn't hard, because I think part two was dire. I just thought for me there's a lack of emotion throughout. I don't think the story was particularly very strong. We knew the dialogue wouldn't be great. We're not here for that. So if you can't give us good dialogue, okay, give us people to root for. I like Richard McCall, like, I think I do anyway. I think I'm supposed to root for him because he's bloodthirsty in this. I like Denzel. That's good. I think the film looks nice. But outside of this, I mean, I'm trying to champion what it's here for. We had, I mean, the first Equalizer film was 2014. I think the second one was 2018. So we're four to 5 years between each one. It's doing okay at the box office.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy to say, you know, I mean, what are we doing with these films? Why are we releasing them? Because obviously some people want to see them. But the camera for the Equalizer 3, I don't know if it was there. I know they want to do more. I don't think they can. I mean, why would they? The film, and I do believe that is the reason why the ending is kind of, in a minor way, fairly ambiguous. Because you can stop it now and he just lives his life in Italy watching football. But they have left those doors open enough, I think, where if Denzel wants to come back, Fuqua will jump at the chance.
Yeah, I think this, you know, let's let it go. Let's let the Equalizer rest in the cafe with maybe Batman's there too, drinking a little coffee. Each other.
Alfred's there as well, just watching.
And so it's all Alfred wanted was for the two of those guys to stop killing and, you know, just hang out at a cafe with a nice lady.
Exactly.
Anyways.
And not talk to each other ever again.
You got anything else you want to say about the Equalizer authority?
I mean, I'm not going to lie, JB, I regurgitated a lot of the non-spoiler talk there because the film is just fine. The action is fine. It's not something you haven't seen elsewhere. Is it inventive at times? Yes. Does Fuqua have a knack for delivering horror-inflected action? I think he does. I wouldn't mind seeing him do an actual horror film if he could just get the balance of, you know, character dialogue and action or spectacle right. But it's okay, John. It's fine.
Well, speaking of horror, next week we're reviewing The Nun 2, and I couldn't be more scared.
I know, so, I understand.
Folks, listen for that one, because we'll be back, and I'm sure we'll have many, many good things to say about that film, because we both really, really like the first one. No, wait, that's a lie.
I was going to let really you run with that. I don't want to jump on board the accusations of liking the first Nun film.
I have not liked anything in the Conjuring verse since the second Conjuring. So
I didn't like the second Conjuring. I liked Annabelle Creation. I thought that was pretty solid entry.
Sandberg crushed that. That's the one I like. I knew there was something that came after too. I also didn't like two that much, but I liked it more so than everything else other than Creation. I didn't make it through La Llorona, the curse of whatever the Conjuring version of it is. I saw part of that on a plane, and that was a long time ago because I haven't flown since COVID. So there you go, folks. We are done with the Equalizer 3. We will be back next week with the Nun 2. In the meantime, follow us on Instagram at Bloody Awesome Movie Pod. And Matt, where can they find us on X?
Going to give it to you at BAMP_podcast, BAMP_podcast.
That was too good, man. Elon, you set that joke up. That's the whole reason, isn't it? Facebook, Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast. You follow us on individually at BurkeReviews.com and at BurkeReviews on all the social media platforms. Matt, where can I follow you?
You follow me, whatiwatchtonight.co.uk, and just search What I Watch Tonight across all of the socials, including Letterboxd.
And if you like what we're doing here at the Bloody Awesome Movie Podcast, please give us that 5-star rating on whatever podcast catcher you use to listen, because it helps other people find us. Thank you, everyone. We will be back with that. We encourage you to keep watching movies.
And stay bloody awesome.